Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X with Exeter Chiefs.
The next match against Bath is on Saturday the 20th of April. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Welcome to episode 33 of Two Locks and a Cox. This week we've got on the field, Chiefs take 5 points versus Newcastle. I'm not going to redo that just because I said it slightly wrong. All right, this is only my second or third time in this seat. Off the field, we've got an interview with Steve-O, the legend of Exeter Chiefs behind the scenes. And in the bin, we've got the laws of rugby, the changing of the laws, and an interesting weekend with the TMO and a statement from the RFU. So there we go.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X.
Today we have Mark Stevens and Sarah Cox. Hi, Sarah.
I'm back.
To have you back.
I know, I'm back. Sorry, team. I've missed a couple of weeks.
Did you choose your cutlery and your crockery for your new penthouse?
Well, apparently so. I don't have a new penthouse. I don't need crockery and I don't need knives and forks. Thanks.
But what's one of my great sayings? Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
God, there's some crap that comes out
exactly
of your mouth,
that.
Honestly.
And Mark Stevens, otherwise known as Steve-O to the masses in the rugby, welcome. It's great to have you on.
Good to see you, Dunno. Yeah, it's good to be here and next to royalty as well. Unbelievable.
Oh, don't you start. Actually, your intro didn't include our titles, did it?
Oh,
you've,
no, it didn't.
You've let Chris down.
Oh.
It was a good effort.
But there was a slight word salad fumble at the beginning. But
there was a proper word salad fumble.
Do you know what? I think that authenticity is one of my life things, that actually I am what you see.
Yeah, that's very true.
So repeating things, I don't think I'm bright enough to put on a persona of being somebody else.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
It's the first time I've heard that come out of your mouth.
Isn't it? Can you imagine like the persona of always being like amazing?
What, like Chris?
No,
like everyone, Chris puts on.
No, he doesn't put it on. He is
amazing. Is that what it is?
He is interesting. But you know, like these people that you meet, like, I guess probably my wife is one. She's authentically like that. But imagine someone just trying to be nice that everybody likes.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is impossible. That's like trying to do that as a referee, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're always in trouble there.
Yeah.
You're never anyone's friend. You're never anyone's friend.
Despite what people lead you to believe.
Yeah. I know, so...
This weekend just gone.
Where were you this weekend, Steve-O?
I was at Sandy Park.
Were you?
Yeah. Back there again. I've been there pretty much every game since I departed. So
I know. I always see you there. I was like,
according to Jack Yendo, he sees more of me now than he ever did when I worked there.
What, you shower with him afterwards?
No.
Not like more of you.
No.
Why are you back there so often?
In my new role.
What is your new role? I must admit, I haven't.
Well, you can't
much
do that. We've got to talk about
this.
That in.
We'll do that in a minute.
Oh, right.
But I have
okay,
a new
sorry,
role.
Sorry.
Yes, I have a new role, and it doesn't. Well, it's not. It's associated with the Chiefs, but not with the Chiefs.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, this weekend just gone. What an amazing weekend of rugby. Premiership's back.
Which it seems like it's been away for 12 years.
It does, doesn't it? I think the players will tell you the same as well.
I think
broken bodies.
I think maybe even the way that they feel, the way that a lot of the teams played, and we had an upside down sort of Premiership score-wise, will tell you that there was long gap.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? To this is the first time it's ever happened. I'd be really interested to hear the feedback of the players and what they think.
I thought personally watching it, the standard of the game was poor.
At Chiefs, it was.
I think that big break meant that none of them. I know they've had these kind of friendlies and that, but Royal Navy wasn't really a test. Scarlets wasn't really a test for the Chiefs. And when you came back into a full throttle Premiership game, there were a lot of errors. There were 27 penalties as well.
29.
Oh, sorry.
29 penalties.
Yeah, well, you don't want to break the 30 barrier.
I'm only going to say that because of Statman said 29, so you might be right with 27.
It might be 29, including penalties and free kicks.
Okay.
That's what we code it as.
And actually, he let a lot go. Can you imagine if we'd had a whistle-happy referee that didn't sort of do that?
Imagine if you had me.
What the game's all about me.
There'll be 40 penalties.
Everyone, look, I'm going to blow my whistle really angrily.
No, Chiefs were brilliant for the first half, got the bonus point by half time, and then you got to the second half and it was just, well, I wrote in my Telegraph and the Times report, turgid.
Turgid. Oh, I haven't heard that word for a long time.
Sarah, if you could just pick up those two names off the floor, please.
Turgid.
Know that he's just dropped the Telegraph and the
Times. Oh, yeah, no, so I just like... Excuse me, I'll find it with my MBE
paper.
Down there. Yeah, there it is. You seem to drop something, sir.
Yeah, I'll grab that.
Whereas I was just doing commentary with Dave.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave's my dog.
Isn't that your dog? Yeah. Dave the dog.
I got two other dogs, Bert and Milo, but they had no interest in rugby whatsoever.
No, they were out in the garden, weren't they?
Dave loves it.
Dave, yeah.
He loves a good game.
Yeah, good game.
Dunno's got a good... if you go back to my time when I was with the club, he used to challenge me to get words into my match reports post-game. We had some classics over the years.
I used to have that when I was...
Get words into your performance?
Yes. Yes. You're laughing. It used to be... in the community game, and my friend used to say to me, right, this is the word you've got to get in. I got in Badger once.
Oh, that's easy.
Like, randomly in the middle of a rugby game.
Oh, yeah. If you challenge me on the podcast to stick a word into this...
No, not on the podcast. I'm talking...
Anywhere, I can do it dead easy.
Or a match report where you... Blunderbuss, I think.
Blunderbuss was one of my favourite ones, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that. Look at you, you're so proud. That's one of your proudest moments, isn't it?
He was adamant I wouldn't get it into my report, and there it was.
No, I knew it would be
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah, I think I got Badger in. Explaining why a mall collapsed, and it was like running over a badger. Something like that.
We can't ask her to get a word. So Brad the rugby god he's back this week. He's just asked me on a message. He went, can we see if Sarah can get a word in this weekend in Scotland? Oh,
in the Six Nations satellite dish.
Satellite telecommunication device.
Satellite dish. You've come in there. Like a satellite dish.
Yeah.
No, I will not be getting funny words into my performance that's going out onto the BBC live.
So there has to be a satellite telecommunication device from the store. So anyone knowing rugby well or no, that's what she wanted.
No, and I'm not yes.
Okay,
this.
If it's not a word, a phrase. If it's not a word, a phrase, you've got to say, do you not know who I am? I'm a dame.
Might get that in anyway. That's natural, there that you is. Go. Yeah, exactly. That's not a challenge.
Oh. So,
MBE.
Newcastle.
So talk more about this Chiefs performance then. What happened? I must admit, I've been tied up this weekend in Wales versus Scotland.
I'm glad you added in Wales. I like that.
One
of my favourite weekends when I get tied up.
So, did you see it, Dano?
I watched it, yeah.
So, we're done. 2 minutes into the game, Newcastle literally throw a wide pass, and it goes to Ben Stevenson down the left flank, front of the East Terrace, and he mows over, literally runs over Josh Hodge.
It was textbook, we know how to beat Chiefs by going out wide. So genuinely the first phase of rugby they had,
and he just ran over.
They lobbed it to the wing, and he went.
I heard about this poor Josh. And was like a dead badger.
That was like that was pretty much a rare highlight for Newcastle after that. They had a few penalties, but the Chiefs, like I say, had the bonus point wrapped up. By half time, standard pick and go rhino moves that you just drive over from close range.
Did you just say rhino moves?
Yes, that's a code word, isn't it?
Rhino off nino.
Oh wow! What?
Rhino.
Anyway, I heard that there was a phenomenal piece of play from Newcastle where he flicks the ball back in, stopping it going out in touch.
Zach Wimbush's try.
Yes. Yep. Elliot Otunyimbo.
God bless the poor human.
Joe Hawkins, just inside his own half, goes for a 50-22. It's on Otunyimbo. I think that's how you say it. Right. Brilliant. He's literally supermanned towards the
hoardings
and flips the ball back in, hits the hoardings, injures his shoulder.
He does, yeah.
Stays down.
Yep.
And Zach Wimbush goes, oh, there's a ball.
And puts the ball down.
What I don't get... It's there waiting for him. He could have gone under the sticks, but he just picks it up and dots it down.
Listen, mate, by that point, you can't really believe it's happening. No. So you just put the damn thing down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
think
you're
going to... It's a calculation,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. Do you know what, though? The 50-22 wasn't even on.
No.
The poor guy hurts himself, has to go off as well, doesn't he? And, yeah, it causes a try, but the 50-22 went on.
Did you spot where the ref was when he awarded the try?
No, I didn't actually. Where was he?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking, because I wonder if he was inside the 22. Because when you're that deep and you're chasing after it and you've got Wimbush, who's the size of a small country, must be able to...
Oh, he probably wasn't. No,
was he?
These boys, there aren't many. Barnsley was probably the one that got 22'd the most. I haven't been involved in enough games to get 22'd just yet, but it's coming.
So the big thing about when you're a referee, you've got to be inside the 22 when you award a try.
Otherwise, you owe everybody beers.
Really?
Yeah. You're just not putting in the effort. But yeah.
Somebody went out of their way to find the wide angle once with me to see if I was 22. I was still on the halfway line, let alone the 22.
They couldn't go wide enough.
Yeah, they couldn't. They actually lost the wide angle because I couldn't get there.
But yeah, Wimbush, who is like a galloping horse. The thing is, he's really, really, he's like 6'12", isn't he? No, he's not. But he doesn't run. You see, like most big guys, like Bentos, the way I run like that, we've got these ridiculous high knees and...
Bentos has got these ridiculous high knees. That's the only way you know he's going at a different speed.
Yeah, yeah. But even like Johnny Gray, when he gets in pace, he looks like it. Wimbush just sort of seems to glide, and yeah, he was in there and scored the try.
There are some really annoying people like that, aren't they? I'd say Josh Hodge is like that, where he just glides across and then all of a sudden steps on a penny, and you're like, how on God's earth can you make your body do that?
Manny's the same.
Really? Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. But yeah, just like gliding across.
Did you mention Johnny Gray, the Lord Lucan of Exeter Chiefs at the moment?
Yeah. Where is he?
Where's Johnny?
I think...
Someone had to do it.
Yeah. I think... look, it's no surprise really to us whether he's fit or not. I've actually got his shirt, his match-worn shirt from when we did the double, because I thought he was going to be a Lion and I really liked the way he played. And I've actually missed him at Chiefs because he's a great, great rugby player. Yeah. Just suffered with those injuries at the wrong time. Didn't quite make Lions because of that. I think he had a bit of, you know, maybe a homesickness relocation stuff. And yeah, it's a real shame for the Chiefs. But again, it's somewhere where we don't seem to be massively challenged as a club, that we've got these great people just lining up behind him. And what a great guy to have around still, because he's obviously training, keeping fit, yeah, doing everything else he needs to do to bring these young ones on, you know, yeah, like Lewis Pearson, which we're his unofficial fan club.
I think you're his unofficial
I'm not,
club.
It's Chris.
Yeah, Chris, yeah, no, Chris, true. Chris, yeah, he is him. Chris, yeah, isn't it?
I'm just carrying
the
on.
Other one's Russ Tuima, who, breaking news, has
don't
just signed
bang
a new
the
deal.
Desk. Brad's like, don't do that. Go
literally
on, sorry.
Literally signed a new deal.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
I know there was some
hot
chat about
press
him going to France, so that's a big...
And there was chat about that, wasn't there? So yeah, that is a really good thing.
There's chat for a few of them going over to France, isn't there?
I think getting in that England A squad may have tweaked the decision-making
nice
a little bit, because, you know, if you start playing well,
yeah,
there's cash to be made at international level, apparently.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And that money also helps the club?
Potentially, yeah.
Not just the player.
If you get a remuneration for each of the England players that are out,
yeah, if you're in the elite squad, then yes. Yeah.
And if you're in there as well, and there's the chance of getting one of these future potential central contracts as well, that's all helping,
yeah,
you as a club with your payroll. Anyway, so we digress. We're talking, yeah, the Newcastle game. Yeah, I mean, it was too close to be comfortable with. It was always a potential banana skin.
But they never looked like they were going to lose.
They didn't look like they were going to lose, no.
Second half was terrible. It was an awful game.
Just penalty ridden, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then loads of replacements, which you get these days. And it was just terrible. But they got
that,
they literally got 5 points, and that's all that matters. And they're back in the top four, so they'll be happy.
That table at the moment and the points with the table.
So tight.
So, so tight. Like from what, Northampton on 44, all the way through to Sale on 32. Gloucester on 26. That's ninth. The only one that really isn't in contention for anything at the
Newcastle
moment is Newcastle.
Yep.
That's it. The rest of the table can shift constantly and move it around.
And does and possibly can, because, I mean, look at the upside down we have Friday night. Bristol Bears absolutely tearing Northampton to pieces. I wouldn't even say it was the score almost flattered Northampton with what it was.
But that's Bristol. All over. They're Jekyll and Hyde. They, yeah, can play unbelievable. They did exactly the same to Bath in the last game before the break. I was there for that one. And they can turn it on when they want to. But they just have these moments in the games where you think, what are you doing?
How good is Randall at the moment?
Yeah, he's playing well.
Unbelievable.
With Kerr going, retiring as well, he's a good shout.
He's, yeah, got to be, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got to be. He's got to be. And AJ McGinty's looking good. He's looking fresh at the moment. He was quick when he made that break.
Well, they're losing Sheedy back to Cardiff, so McGinty's,
yeah,
probably gone,
yeah,
right, I am the 10 now. Whereas, yeah, he's probably had that, I'm in this week, I'm not in that week.
Yeah, yeah, a bit of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then another close one, Leicester-Gloucester.
Gloucester, Leicester, wasn't it at Gloucester?
No, Leicester.
It was at Leicester.
Yeah, 25-27.
At least it wasn't as bad as the actual Prem Cup final. That is one of the most boring games I've ever seen in rugby.
Was it?
Oh, it was horrendous.
Again, I was away for that one.
No, it's horrendous. It was a better game, but the actual Cup final.
Gloucester have found a bit of form now as well, haven't they?
I think beating Leicester in that Cup...
Yeah, it gave him a
bit...
Two
reasonable strength sides, as in, you know, Gloucester were full strength. Leicester had a few players away for the cup game, but it was the same with the game this week. There were still a few Leicester players not available.
Not many. But... That wasn't shy of a full Leicester team. I think Gloucester have just found a little bit of form, haven't they? They've got a little bit of wind up the tails. They're ready to sort of show that. The first half of the season, sort of into this second half, a little bit, is that's we're just going to park that. We're going to leave that there, and they want to finish on a high, don't they? They want to prove to the world that they can do it, and they've got injuries coming back. Got Mercer's like well and truly cemented himself back in there. Like they could be one to watch for next season.
Steve, you remember the years gone by, and I talked about this with Chrissy last week, that we used to really target the Six Nations games to play the mighty teams because we knew that we'd had a really good chance of beating without their internationals when Chiefs didn't have that many internationals on their side. And that kind of probably what happened with Northampton, that they still had the majority of their internationals away, whereas Leicester chose to play them, which means they'll have to rest them this week, and Sale the same. So Sale the next day played Bath, didn't they? Really good 24-24 at one stage, and then Bath played through and just, you know,
considering
topped it up.
The last time when Bath played away at Sale, that there was it was very low scoring and it relied a lot on kicking. This game, like I thought it was a really good one to watch.
It was cracking, but they chose to play Ford, who's come off of that, so he's going to have to get a rest because he's got to get his rest weekend.
Yep.
So you could still see that tactical resting of players. Now, it was probably the perfect fall for Chiefs to get Newcastle because they could rest.
They timed it quite right because Slady was sunning himself in Dubai with the family.
Yeah. Nice.
Ethan Roots was due to play and then picked up a knock in the warm-up and got replaced.
is that like Christmas
Manny,
calf?
Manny didn't play.
Yeah, although they said, Manny's available to play. He could play during the week. And that's just...
So they've looked at probably... Rob actually said in his post-match, he said we had to make changes late on the day on Friday and in the warm-up. So whether or not he's thought tactically, I'll get my England boys done.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes on, isn't there, in the background?
What,
that people don't
mind
know.
Games?
Yeah, like everything. It's fascinating. It's
think
fascinating.
About it. Skullduggery. It's right.
It's really clever. It's like when these law sort of applications come in and these guidelines and things, and how coaches find a way around them, and then they have to change again. I think it's brilliant.
Well, like DuPont's law.
Yeah, like DuPont's law. DuPont's law has been there almost as long as the law book has been printed.
But nobody ever thought, let's try and do this.
They interestingly took a piece of law out of the law book that stopped the us being able to rectify it through law. So that's where DuPont's, because you couldn't loiter. So there was a piece in there at one point. You have to go back to, I think it's a 2014 law book, where it says that players can't loiter, which would have outlawed the DuPont law before we even got going. But they took it out for some reason, and that's how we ended up with the DuPont law. But it is now going to get outlawed again because they'll change the law again in some of the trials that they're doing down in Super Rugby, which will stop the DuPont law. I thought it was brilliant, to be honest.
Oh, it was genius. Just,
yeah,
the application
absolutely
of
genius.
Law. And I caught a tiny bit of the Pirates game. Restart. Ball goes straight out. Pirates took a quick line out and scored. And it was like, hang on, the referee talks it through because he's like going, oh no, what do I do? Exactly. So the way that you referee, you process these things, you just talk out loud and you go, right. So the ball was live. Yeah. Didn't touch anything. It was fine. It was open to be played. The line out wasn't marked. He took it from behind where the mark would have been for the line out.
Yeah. It went five.
It went five. The try stands.
Yeah, because it's so odd. And you have some really odd laws sometimes where you think to yourself, hang on a minute, is there somewhere in this that there's an odd law that's going to catch me out and I have to go back over and I might be wrong? And especially the in-goal laws, like no one gets them. No one knows if it's a 22 dropout, if it's a goal line dropout, if it should be a 5 metre scrum, whose ball it is, what happens. Everybody has to sit there and you have to go through the law book in your head of like, Christ, what is this?
Dave, my dog, knows because I always say I'm like that. Oh, I said that would be a scrum back where that was because it went out.
Yeah, or scrum back. Do you get an option? Do you not? Yeah. Like, if you kick the ball out full on a goal line dropout, what are your options?
So.
Silence, exactly.
Yeah, hang on, I'm just trying to work.
Yeah, wait. You're trying to work this out. Yeah.
Well, you're saying, like going straight, what do you go through? Yeah. What are your options? So goal line dropout, so essentially it's a free kick where you're not going to get retention back. So if the ball goes straight out it's just a line out to the opposition.
Nope. You've got four different options. I'll leave that with you.
All right, we'll talk about that in the last section of the game.
I'll leave that with you. And then that's pretty much all your games, isn't it? Apart from your Sarri's Harlequins. Sarri's Harlequins, give me three words to summarise that game.
I'll give you three letters. T M O.
TMO.
God, I knew you were going to bring that up.
Should we talk about it now or should we put it in the bin?
Do you know what? We might as well talk about it now.
I think we've got to talk about it now, haven't we?
You've brought it up now, haven't you? So go on. You two give me your understanding of what happened.
Stephen knows a lot more about this than me because he was in the inner circle for a long time.
I don't want to drop people in the cart here, though.
That's the problem because, like, you're so media trained and you used to teach the lads how to get media trained. You used to teach them to delete all their social media and things they had on Twitter and X before they were famous going, correct. You can't have that on there now.
Yeah, because someone will go back and find it.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, always. Yeah, crikey. I mean,
I don't know how people have enough time on
their
hands
to do that. We still
get
it now with the rebrand and the stuff like that. Some people still chirp up and find stuff that I'd written.
That
and
brings nightmares to me, the rebrand, okay? I had 2.5 years of being called all sorts by people from Glasgow.
Oh, sounds like you've become a referee.
And who was your mouthpiece, public mouthpiece, on the stuff you couldn't say?
Anyway, we're digressing.
The TMO, what happened?
What happened? Tell us.
So there was an incident with Owen Farrell going down. He's 5 metres from the line, probably. And Stefan Lavez comes in and appears to collide with him with a double knee. Ref hasn't seen it. Austin Healey has seen it on the TV. And immediately calls it to attention via the broadcasters. Now, was it Terridge? Stuart Terridge, the TMO?
Yep.
This is, you know, what goes on. Did he hear it? Did he not hear it? Whatever happens. It may have been heard in the TV truck by the TMO. I don't know if they listened to it or not. Maybe you could tell us, Coxie.
I think with what he then said over the microphone that was published to everybody, as that channel is
on the old Ref channel,
may give away that he definitely did hear it.
He did,
yes.
And then so basically, I can't do anything about it because it may have been construed that I've listened to the TV commentary. Is that right?
That's about right. Yeah.
But why not? In some ways, why not? Because, I mean,
it's not. I personally don't think it's a bad thing if TV pick up that there is an act of foul play.
Unless it's about Leicester in Leicester with Leicester's Austin Healey, Leicester's Ben Kay.
We had that conversation beforehand. But I do think there is potentially some bias there occasionally.
But they are very
big
good.
Big statement from
you. But they are. Austin Healey's one of the best pundits around, in my eyes. He likes the sound of his own voice, but he is very, very good.
Yeah.
He's very knowledgeable.
He picks up stuff, and most pundits wouldn't have spotted that incident, what happened. Mm-hmm. And I go back to what I said a minute ago, that if he's picking up foul play, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and on one of the games, well, that shouldn't be a try. It was a forward pass like that, which you can't always tell from TV because the angles are really,
really,
really difficult. It could have been South African flat. Which is...
What's that, coffee?
Yeah. No, South Africa's flat when you're running really, really fast, and as long as the hands are sort of level or pointing-ish backwards, if it looks like it goes forward, it doesn't matter.
So in law, there isn't actually a forward pass. So it's a throw forward. So we've somehow managed to almost rename it, but everybody understands that it's a forward pass. So you deem it as a forward pass, but it's a throw forward. So that's what you're looking for when it happens, is that do they throw it forward? Because the ball can travel forward, and because of science and physics and all the wonderful things that the planet has to offer, the ball can travel forward, but you haven't passed it forward.
Well, not according to Dave258, who screenshot was sat in his lounge on his iPhone.
Yeah, everyone loves a screenshot,
don't they? Look at this. This is clearly forward, because the ball, the line is there, and he's on the line. And when the other guy catches it, he's in front of the line. Yes,
but that's physics.
Exactly,
because if you're running, anyway, we won't go into that.
It was because when Sir Isaac Newton invented gravity, which I saw on another thing, this person saying, are you for sure? Anyway, so the TMO said out loud, I can't give this because it will sound like Austin has then done it. He doesn't think this has gone out live on the channel.
No.
Everybody's now heard this on there.
Yeah.
And then the first person sort of brings this up and goes like that. The RFU have no other choice to get involved here. There's no way they're going to let this pass, do they?
No, probably not.
The actual statement that I read wasn't...
It's very long-winded, so I wouldn't read all
I'm
of it out.
I'm not going to read it out, but it wasn't from the RFU.
Yeah, it is.
The one that I read was something from the professional referees...
PGMOT.
That's the
RFU.
Okay. But it didn't.
Professional game match official team.
Yes,
that's what I am.
Yes, I know. But it Yeah. That really easy thing that rolls off your tongue, which is why I was trying to have to look for the reference that I'd screenshot or the page that I'd stuck on. Because the PGMOT had done something.
Yeah, professional game match official team.
She loves a letter after her name.
Oh, I know. She does.
PGMOT, MSC.
I've just got TWA something after mine, so that's fine. The statement didn't have RFU written all over it.
No.
It just sort of had PGMOT or whatever you call them.
So that's us.
It was really long-winded with a sort of...
It was.
We must agree that this has happened and it's unfortunate how it happened and we don't know, but we do know and it shouldn't really happen. And it, like I said, there was no direct apology. There was a, we're going to adjust it and make sure that when it happens...
La, 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 la.
When it happens next time, the ref's microphone is not switched on. We're going to retrain our TMOs
not to actually
press the wrong button and say it out loud. The reason you could maybe at some time hear it, because you're in the truck, aren't you?
Right. So let's, in full kit. Right. Yeah. Apparently, according to everyone, we sit in the truck with full kit, like the football people do. So let's roll it back a little bit and let's look at the incident. So the TMO was sweeping in the background. So we call it sweeping. So what they'll do is they've got a live screen and a 7-second delay. So what will happen is that when you see something live and you want to have a look at it again, you'll turn to the 7-second delay and wait for the 7 seconds to catch up, and you'll see the same thing happen again. So he'd gone along, swept up in the background and gone, that would be a penalty. And us as a group have spoken about this. We agree that it would be a penalty only. They play through the advantage that would have happened and they score a try from it. So ultimately, advantage is over. You've got the try. We're not looking at penalty try, so there's no more advantageous position you could be in. So you would have left it there naturally. Where it falls a little bit is the communication that he has done that. So it would have been better for him to have come through to the referee and said, I checked some foul play. It would have been a penalty only. You played through the advantage. The try was scored. And all of a sudden, we're now all on the same page.
We're back to where we were. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the sort of incident in itself. So I think we need to squash that. You know, there were some rumblings around sort of, we don't take foul play and player welfare seriously. But we absolutely do. He did it in the background. He just didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
Then obviously the comms go live. What's happened is he's talking to the director. So what I don't think people realise is that we don't have an operator that sits by us. So Austin has someone that sits with him and controls everything. And he'll say, I want to look at that again. And immediately it comes through. What happens with us in the truck as TMOs is that nobody sat with us. We have to push a button to speak to the director to say, we need to look at this. There's a delay in that, firstly, because we're looking on that 7-second delay screen anyway. We then have to ask the director to go back and we have to explain what that incident is. And sometimes that's not easy because it happens different phases. You then get the director that will finish what he's doing or she, then come to what you've asked for, and then they'll tell you what panel it's on. So you sit in front of all these screens and they'll say, right, all the cameras are lettered, and it'll say, right, it's coming up on X, have a look at X. And somebody's winding through that footage for you, and you're talking offline at this point, saying what's going on. Unfortunately, that line went live at the time of what he was talking, and it's sort of been bounded around that there was a fault with the panel and what have you. So that could have happened to anybody.
And meanwhile, you're also trying to reward a try.
Correct, because he's also trying to check the grounding.
And trying to say why a try was allowed.
And there's a live broadcast going on.
And there's a live broadcast going on.
So the director will be very much switched. I'm going to go in my media here.
Yeah.
But the director will be, he's got a million things going, and he's shouting orders, literally.
Honestly, it is phenomenal when you look at it.
They are unbelievable, these people.
Unbelievable. Yeah. They do about 7 different things all at once.
You have to be in the truck to see what they do.
Yeah.
And they have got a bank, as Sarah said, a bank of TVs in front of them, and they're across all of them. But he's talking to probably 2 or 3 different people, plus a floor manager.
Yeah, plus what's happening with the commentators in his ears as well. So there's all sorts of voices coming through. He's doing his bit. Then the TMO pushes and quietens the line, and it goes through to the producer or the director who's now got to tee all of this up. And then you have the conversation, because we've gone through and said we've cleared that off. We don't need to show lots of replays of it because I need to check groundings and what have you as well. We can move past this. Let's crack on. That's where it falls down a little bit. And so when we then go to well, everyone's saying that you can hear the commentary in the box and things like that. We thought that wasn't the case. Right. So how the box is set up. You are in what looks like a big static caravan that attaches to a big Arctic lorry. That in there has everybody in broadcast and production sat in those rooms. In that,
think of a Wagamama's with TV screens.
It is. No, it's like that. There's a bench.
Can I have 109 chili squid?
It is like that. Yeah, yeah. Right?
They're basically in rows.
They're in rows. You're in like a classroom row, and you're sat on one of the rows, and you're sat. You could be sat with anybody within the production team. But it could be right or left-hand side, the director will be there. Now, we as TMOs and match officials do not actively go out and listen to commentary.
No.
But you are in a space where the director is listening to the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're so close to the director, sometimes you can hear that in the background.
Yeah.
So naturally, there's nothing you can do about that because you're not in a separate box. Everybody thinks that you sit in this like broom cupboard and press lots of buttons.
In full
kit.
In
full kit.
Yeah.
The only button you press...
With your whistle around your neck, ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I'm needed, I'm here.
I'm here, ready to go.
And a cape or not, was that too far?
No, that's too far.
Oh, sorry.
Card the caterers, all that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The only button you press, or there's two of them, one to the director, one to the on-field match official.
Okay.
That's it. So we're not controlling anything.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks that you're controlling this. I've got nothing to do with me. So when the referees talk sometimes and say, can you roll back on something or can you do that? You're actually talking to the director and we're at the mercy of what they want to do. And so we get into this point that everybody's like, well, why are you listening to the commentary? At sometimes you have no choice because you're in the same room. So, of course, because he wants to listen to that. It comes through speakers.
Essentially, what we saw was what goes on every single week.
It just went live.
In part of actually producing a spectacle for us on TV.
It is.
A referee producing a game that is fair, the laws are applied and everything else. We just happen to hear it and then everyone
there
goes
some things, look,
crazy about it.
Stu knows that was not best practice.
No.
We understand as a group of us. We were hauled into
happens.
A room yesterday.
Does he get put on a naughty step now or something like that?
I don't know what they're doing. To be honest with you, I've had a very long week, so I wasn't really paying attention to what happens.
Well, more
next.
Than 7 days?
God, I've been home 3 days in the last 3 weeks. But anyway, let me just finish this. So the whole TMO inside stuff, we understand as a group of us that is not best practice. He held his hands up and he said, this was not the best way for me to have dealt with this. This was not how I wanted it to do. You can't do anything about a fault in technology and what have you. What we do want to do is open up the door for people to understand actually what happens in the TMO truck and how difficult it is. And sometimes, naturally, we will be behind the commentators on what happens because of the technology and because we have to go through the director and round and back in, whereas Austin has his own people sat there that can do it immediately for him. We're sort of 7 seconds on the delay screen, plus then anything else that we have to do to go through the director, plus when they finish what they want to do first, and plus us then checking what's happening on XYZ and saying, yes, I'm actually going to formally refer this. So there's so much more process that we have to go through. Of course, we're going to be behind the commentators.
Cox is bang on with that. So if people, when they come to Chiefs next time, they look up at the TV gantry, you'll see the lead commentator, either Nick Mullins or Ali Eakin, and then the two pundits, and then there'll be a guy, a techie guy, he looks with glasses normally.
Guys wear glasses.
Yes, you just haven't got
look
yours
at me sat here. Have I got my glasses on? No, do you know why?
You've had your cataract.
Because I had eye surgery last week.
Oh, wow.
But this guy, I think they call it something like Magenta or Diablo or something. And Coxie's bang on that literally Austin Healey will put his mic quiet. He'll go like this to his bloke next to him and say, do this, set up all the arrows and everything, if it's in, you know, phase play or whatever.
Yep.
And it's done in an instant.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are some things that this has highlighted. There are some awarenesses that we have as a team of match officials. And there are some things that we would like to go to TNT with and say to them, look, in the future, we would like to try and operate in this way so that we can cut that time lag down as quickly as possible and get through things even quicker. So I understand people's frustrations. I understand why people might be upset with that. However, there's a lot of things that go on in the background that people don't see, that should see, as to why certain things don't work quite as well as people expect sometimes.
Do you know what? I think that's absolutely amazing. And I don't think you will have information on any other podcast or anywhere else like the deep dive we've done there, because people aren't sat there that have got the experience that do these pods.
So. And people would think as well, just purely on French TV, that they are in a dark dungeon.
Oh my god, yeah, the camera comes up their nose, doesn't it?
They have
a
camera in French TV that is on the TMO.
Whereas... We saw it, Tom Foley wearing a full suit.
Yes.
With his full kit on underneath it. We know that because he's it. Anyway, look, we've gone really deep into that, which is amazing. We're just going to have
in the bin now.
Yeah, we've done part of the bin bit, yeah. But what we're going to do now, we're going to go to a word from our sponsors and from Statman, and then we're going to talk the Women's Six Nations.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
The next match against Bath is on Saturday the 20th of April. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
Hi Dave, we got the result at Newcastle. We didn't get your magic points. We didn't get anywhere near the magic number or perform as well as we have at Sandy Park in the past. But hit me with some stats.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a funny game at Sandy Park. I think I'll say diplomatically, it wasn't maybe a great advert for the Premiership, but it probably looked like two teams who haven't played a Premiership game for a couple of months. There were 29 penalties in the game in total, according to one source. The other source I heard was 27. So, you know, so it was a lot of penalties. That's 6 more than any other Chiefs game this season in total. So no wonder it didn't feel like it flowed. And it did also end a stat that I talked about last week. That was 6 Newcastle, Exeter Newcastle fixtures where the home side had scored had a score that ended in 4. So sadly, that's gone. Exeter got 25. That's only the 9th time they've done that since promotion. Weirdly, 24. They've scored 25 times. So
what?
You'd think they'd be like really close to numbers, wouldn't you? But 25, I guess it's because you've got to miss some kicks, but then get a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit, it's been, I think Saturday was one of those games where it felt a bit frustrating. And I know a lot of people were a bit underwhelmed by the performance. This stat though, I think it helps to explain it. What I talked to, I put a post on Twitter or X on Saturday night saying, actually of our back line, they'd only started 34 games Premiership and European Cup games this season between them. And Harvey Skinner had made 16 of those appearances. So the rest of them had made 18 starts between them. So Hodge has obviously been out injured. Ollie Woodburn's been out injured. Dan John and Will Beckinsall were making their first Premiership starts of the season. Zach Wimbush has only just broken into the team. Joe Hawkins has been in and out. So again, no wonder we didn't have the best attack in the world, particularly in that second half.
Yeah, exactly. That is a very, very strong stat there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, then I was thinking about this a bit more. over the weekend, and I looked through our minutes played this season in those two sort of senior competitions, and I looked at our best, our 15 players that have played the most minutes. So basically, picked a team based on in each position who'd been on the pitch the most. Only five of those started on Saturday.
Wow. Yeah.
So Jack Yendall at hooker, Lewis Pearson, Jack Vermeulen, who wasn't supposed to start, although to be fair, Ethan Roots was also in that 15, Fisalau and Harvey Skinner. Rusi Tuima has now played more minutes than Daft Jenkins, so would have gone, sort of has gone above him this week and was only 3 minutes behind or something. But yeah, it just shows it really wasn't necessarily a first choice extra team, or what has been a first choice extra team for most of the season. It does kind of explain where we were really in terms of it looking like a team that was a bit rusty and a bit.
Everyone was rusty. They were rusty. We were rusty. Ref was rusty.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The weather was rusty.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those days that, you know, get it over and done with. Five points on the board.
Got the result.
Another winning bonus point for Chiefs. That's now 8 bonus points this season, which is the number of bonus points they got in the whole of last season. So that's from 13 games, the 8 bonus points this year. Last year, they got 8 from 20 matches. And last year, 4 of those bonus points were losing bonus points. This year, it's only been 1. So one of the weaknesses last year, I think, and I think Rob talks about this, was we didn't pick up enough 5-point wins at home. Well, that's now 7 5-point wins. So,
and that's what's pushed. That's pushed us up the chart into fourth.
Yeah, completely. And actually, in terms of looking at our league points, that's now 40 league points for the season. Last season, again, after 20 games, Chiefs finished on 48 points. So yeah, 2 more wins, and they'll be level with last season's thing. And that'll be in fewer games. You know, so again, I think it just shows that the team's growing, it's moving forward, and getting better.
And this week is Enya.
Yeah, the Enya fixture. And a lot of people will probably be thinking about going up to Sale and it being, oh no, we're going to Sale. It's a really hard place. Oh, we don't win up there very often. Actually, the last 7 trips up there, Exeter have won 5 of those games.
No way. And they're nearly always, they've been Sunday fixtures as well, haven't they?
Sunday fixtures, Friday fixtures. I think we played up there in a 3
Friday night,
Well, I think we played a Saturday fixture up there about a year or two ago, and it was the first time we played up there on a Saturday for about 5 years. So our record up there is actually quite good in recent years. We've actually won more than we've lost up there. And Sale aren't in great form. It's fair to say we played Newcastle this weekend, who haven't won all season. Well, Sale, although they started with 6 wins from 7 in the Premiership, their last 6 Premiership games, they've lost 5.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And the last time they won by more than 2 points was October, I think.
And they're probably the side with the most previous or former Chiefs playing for them at the moment.
Yeah, so they've got quite a few familiar faces. So player ID shouldn't be too difficult at the weekend. I suppose with a record like that, there's 2 ways of looking at it. Either it's a really good time to play them, or they're due a win.
Yeah, well, let's hope for the former. We'll go for a score. What's your prediction?
Narrow Chiefs win. I think 5 points.
Okay. But you're not going to put a figure on it.
25-20, something like that.
25-20, brilliant. All right. Well, we shall reconvene next week and find out how we got on. Let's hope for a successful Sunday up in Manchester.
2 Locks and a Cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
The next match against Bath is on Saturday the 20th of April. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.
And there we are. Welcome back. Some great stats from Dave there, barring penalties, and looking forward to Enya this week, which is, of course, we all know is the Chiefs fixture, which is...
Oh, yeah. Sail away.
Sail away.
That always makes me giggle, that one.
I know. It's the simple things, hey? So we'll do a quick brief of the Women's Six Nations with England being very dominant in Italy, which probably was no surprise to everybody.
No, it was close for about 10 minutes while they had the red card with Sarah Beckett and that. But England are a force of nature at the moment. In all honesty, New Zealand are the only team that are close to them. And I've watched quite a bit of women's games since I've left the Chiefs, and it's obvious the Red Roses players really stand out. They are a cut above everything else. So they will win the Six Nations. I'm going to put it out there straight away.
Oof, good, well, big prediction real quick there. Yeah. Nice. Right,
they will win. With a Grand Slam?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if you said no, I was like, who's going to upset them?
No, France will give them a test, but they won't beat them. Yeah. The rest
They've also played Ireland in Twickenham. They've sold a fair few tickets. I can't remember. I think it's 30,000 so far.
That'd be good. It'd be good if they can, you know, fill the bottom tier and get into the middle tier. I mean, you know, selling out that the top tiers.
They're at Ashton Gate before that, aren't they?
Yeah, so Ashton Gate.
Next week?
Yeah, so far.
No, this weekend.
It's this weekend. Yeah. I believe that they've sold about 16,500 tickets.
Brilliant.
Ashton Gate will be absolutely pumping.
Yeah.
That'll be amazing.
So, yeah, great game there. Was no real surprise. What was a surprise was Scotland beat Wales.
They did, yeah.
And,
Well, again, they're improving, I think. Matt Banahan's in there now.
Yeah, he is.
You see on his Instagram, I think it is today, there's a clip of him. They're in the training shed at wherever Scotland train, and he goes to field a ball that's been kicked off, and he gets tackled by the water bottles.
Amazing.
Check it out.
So he's brilliant. I worked, did some tech stuff for him up in Bath for a job when he first retired, and because he was one of the only players that actually retired on a dead card. So a dead card is when you give away a red card, but you actually knock yourself out in the doing of it.
Yeah. He knocked himself out that tackle, didn't he? And then that's the most awkward thing as a referee is having to red card someone going off on a stretcher.
Yeah, that is the end of their career because they've not really played since after that. But he's one of those amazingly talented people. I mean, he's a scratch golfer and all sorts. And
he's
great to see.
Phenomenal at golf.
Mm. Part of my Chief Norse moment here as well. Brian Eason is also the Scotland
Chiefs lad, yeah.
From the Ian Bremner era.
Yes, old school.
I remember
Brems.
1999. Was it? Blimmin' out, he didn't tell me that.
There you go.
He told me he used to play for Exeter, but he never told me the year.
Yeah, 1999.
I was 9 years old.
That was probably one of the early games I went to watch.
A certain Sam Howard that were battling for the fly half jersey at the time.
Wow.
That's old school, that is knowledge.
That's why you were always the absolute master of your game with everything because of the retention of information you had. But we're going to talk about you in a minute.
Ooh.
So that's cool. And then
Ireland,
France.
Ireland much improved. They've got Tricky Adele McMahon as their captain this year.
Yeah, Tricky's in there. Yeah.
So she's
Scott Beamon's now the head coach from the Red Roses.
There were some interesting comments from Clee Maloney in the media.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. But we won't talk too much about that. But
Clee's been on the pod. It took Chris
friend of the show.
It took Chris about 15 minutes to actually get her name right because he's trying to go if you say it, it's cleaner. But it's not if you say it in the traditional virus way. So we call it Clee, exactly.
Yeah. She had a bit of a turbulent departure from the national scene, didn't she?
Yeah.
And I think it's still a bit raw even a few years on. But she's a great player. Why Ireland can't pull it together and get her back in the squad, and
it's just one
of those ones, isn't it? And similarly, Nick Friday lost interest by the sounds of it with the Six Nations. So
it's really punishing the Six Nations because the PWR stops just like the Premiership, but it's been like a jam-packed first end of the season. Then you go into like the international window, which also takes a few of the American and Canadian players out for Pac 4 stuff after the Six Nations. Then they all come back and go back into the PWR again. When does it stop?
Well, I can't keep track of what's going on all sorts with all of them because I know...
Because you've also got the WXVs as well coming up.
I saw Susie at the game at the weekend and she says she's literally like a clown juggling balls
when
players will be available and things like that. Just to mention, Susie is running the London Marathon.
Is she?
For Wooden Spoon.
Yeah.
Blumenek, fair play to her. Well, she's played for Wooden Spoon, I think.
Three staff at the Women's Chiefs are doing it. So Kat Moore, who's the team manager.
Yeah.
Susie, who's obviously DOR, and Caroline Moore, who's the media manager. All running.
Nice. Oh, awesome. Well, good luck to them.
For the Wooden Spoon.
Only Susie for the wooden spoon. Okay. I think Kat Moore is doing it for Force Cancer, and Caroline Moore is doing it for the Rugby Players
Association.
Nice.
Well, if you can spare a little bit of cash, please donate to those lovely ladies.
26.2 miles.
No, thank you.
You've done a bit of running, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. I used to do half marathons, rack up with about 2 weeks training.
Come on, then. Tell us about you.
You did one not all that long ago, didn't you?
No, I haven't run. Well, I've just started running because I ruptured my Achilles about a year ago.
I remember you being in a boot.
You remember me walking around like an idiot around grounds? Yeah.
Well, that was every day.
Yeah.
But sometimes you did it in a boot.
No, I used to do Plymouth Half, and my abiding memory of my last Plymouth Half was there's a lovely old lady on the Billicombe Road. If you know Plymouth well, you go across Lara Bridge, you've got the big Morrisons as you head up towards Saltram. Lady there with a tub of jelly babies. They were probably as old as her because I put one in my mouth and instantly your mouth went
sucks all the moisture out. Yeah.
So horrendous.
Moves us nicely onto
Steve-O.
Onto our mate Steve-O.
13 years at Exeter Chiefs.
23 years. Well, 24 if you consider this season as well, covering them.
Covering Chiefs. Yeah. Been to every rugby ground everywhere. Been to France, Italy, a trip to South Africa.
Did you go down to South Africa?
Through the double. So you actually joined Chiefs just after...
I joined the
Prem.
About a month and a half after they got promoted at Bristol. Mm. But I covered them from 99.
Were you at Bristol?
I was at Bristol.
Yeah, I was there.
I missed three games in my whole tenure when I was at the Chiefs.
Three?
And that includes friendlies and A-leagues.
Wow, why? One was
for the birth of my son.
Yeah, fair. That's quite important.
One was I couldn't get on the plane. There wasn't enough spaces for Montpellier away.
Oh.
When they had the like teal colour kit.
Sam
Simmons scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And the other one was we had the England-Saxons game at the Chiefs. And I had to stay back.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah.
So that includes away games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. And that's dedication, isn't it? Because if I was in your job, they'd go, do you want to go to Newcastle?
I live for match days.
Do you want to go to Newcastle on a Sunday night? I'd be like, no.
I literally live for match days.
Yeah.
Wow. And when they drew the Bulls, there was no way in the world I was missing that.
No.
So,
that's fair play.
I ended up paying a little bit out of my own pocket to go to that one. So
that's dedication. And worked it. There you go.
So. Wow.
Which is great. And the coverage from South Africa was amazing because we wanted loads of media from there because it was the only time we'd been to South Africa and that big trip. And luckily in your generous time when you were almost on holiday.
But it was an amazing trip. And, you know, I loved every minute of it because we went on safari, but we were around,
I remember seeing all the pictures.
I spent the whole week like around the training, which I don't normally do, and I was helping Gareth with the cameras and that. So it was it was brilliant.
And then
we got to go to some...
And we won.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Did we lose?
No, we lost.
Game?
Slady got sent off over there.
Oh.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But then it got rescinded after. We went to a former Springboks house on the outskirts of Pretoria, and it was like Fort Knox.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Really?
Richard, he played in...
You should know this, really, shouldn't you?
I should. I just remember, we had a few beers.
Stain.
Stain.
But he literally put on a braai for us.
Yeah.
And the steaks were about, I'm going to show you with my hands. This is rubbish for radio, I know, but what would you say that is?
30,
that's the sort of steaks I serve at my house.
Yes.
you would have loved it.
Barbecue Central.
Listen, mate, if you've gone up the Alps, he's gone up the Alps backwards doing roly-polies.
Right. I serve big steaks at my house. You've been to my house and had big steaks. So let's not out big steak me.
It's not
anyway,
about you.
I've just booked a holiday. I was going to go to 20 a reef. It was fully booked, so I'm going to Egypt instead. Anyway, so...
So now...
I don't know, I'm Brad.
I'll get back to me. Now I'm not with the Chiefs anymore.
Yeah, no. So tell us what you're doing now then.
So I work... You guys know him. A guy called Phil Mingo, who's
Pinnacle
Photo Agency. So I've come in there as a sort of operations, media and content manager for him.
Yeah.
So it keeps me in sport down here. But it's got me back to my roots from when I was at the Morning News all those years ago. So I'm not just doing rugby. I've been to a lot of Chiefs games and working for Nationals.
You're an avid cricketer as well, aren't you?
I like a bit of cricket.
And you play cricket?
I do.
To a reasonable standard.
Yeah. And
you're a massive football fan.
I'm a huge Liverpool fan.
Liverpool? Because
I'm a season ticket holder.
Hey, listen, our mate Tempo's from Liverpool, isn't he? Is he? He'll be proud.
Yeah, yeah. Our mate. How's it going, lad?
Am I allowed to say my friend? I don't. So Tony Walker and I go back very, very long time, very good friend. And he obviously, when I said you were carrying on it, he said, I've got to ask you about Liverpool and that you can't win everything this year or you're out of something. Or
oh, I thought he was going to ask you about when I played for the Legends.
That was the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That was a few years ago.
Liverpool Legends.
I played for Liverpool Legends and I scored for Liverpool Legends. And wow. I will show you a photo after where I'm being hugged by Jan Mulby, Phil Neal, and Alan Kennedy.
If I knew who any of these three were,
you're all rugby people, I know. But like, literally,
even in rugby, I don't know half the people.
I played football down at Newquay for the Liverpool Legends.
Newquay.
And I walked into the changing room, and John Walk, who was in Escape to Victory,
yes,
all right, he's on the treatment table in front of me. And he goes in and goes, hi, I'm John Walk. I went, yeah, I know who you are. I literally was like spellbind. And then in the evening, I got to do a Q&A with them all.
Which is amazing. Great, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, we'll go back to what you're doing now.
So what
now,
I'm doing
then.
Now, still do a lot of rugby coverage. I've been working for a lot of the Nationals and doing a bit of radio commentary with Radio Devon and things. Sorry, on Radio X, but... Yeah,
you crack on, don't worry.
I really like your radio commentary on games as well, because when you first did it, I thought Steve was like, oh God, he doesn't know all that much about it. You've become really, really knowledgeable about the game.
Ooh. Yesterday I was at Taunton Races. So I So I do the social media for Taunton Racecourse on a race day now.
Nice.
And try and flog as many pictures and frames for the company as possible to owners and trainers, and try and celebrity spot up there. There's a few celebrities up there
is
now
there?
And again. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll probably say some to you and you'll go, who's that?
But, go on then.
You had Craig Overton, the England cricketer. He was there not long ago.
No.
A guy called Martin Broughton, who is a money man in football terms. He brokered the deal for Liverpool when they were almost going to go bust.
Any dames or not?
No, need to get one up there.
Yeah.
Keith Parsons, the Somerset cricketer, was there yesterday, or a former player. So,
I've heard that name.
And now I'm getting in with all the jockeys. I get to know them now. So,
okay, you.
Yeah.
And you say I'm Mark. Do they look up to you?
No.
So how does this relate?
I know what you mean.
Oh, wow. wow. How does this relate to Pinnacle, though?
I love a short joke.
So Pinnacle are the official course photographers.
Got you. So you come in and do the sort of media bit behind.
Phil, Tom and Matt take the photos.
Yeah.
And then within 5 minutes, we get a winning picture to the owners and the trainers. They're quaffing on some champagne.
Of course.
How you know.
Yes, I do.
And then my task then is to try and flog some more pictures of their horse in action.
This sounds remarkly like my MBE, the flogging some pictures.
And then you said that, didn't you? And to pay for all of them.
Yeah, in between and while races are going on, I'm going around with the phone and doing stories and Instagrams and
is that the same for the rugby as well?
No, rugby is proper journalism.
Right, so you do that separate to Phil?
Yeah.
And you
write. No, I work on behalf of the company,
yep.
So the papers employ me, and then the money goes back into...
Got you, yep. And then
but writing for The Times, The Telegraph, and the rugby paper...
Yeah, it was interesting last week, because I had...
Were you the one that made us a back page headline in The Telegraph?
Probably not. TMO. No.
That was some spike, and I can see the eyes on the dame as well.
Saturday was good because it took me back to my sort of younger days as a journalist, where I literally had three reports to do within an hour of the
game. Oh, my God.
So the deadline doesn't change, and then I was having to wait for Steve Diamond to come up and chat to him, and he was tucking into his roast in the county suite.
Unbelievable roast.
How was his post-match? Because I didn't see it this week.
He was all right, yeah.
Because I watched on PRTV, and it was all a bit weird.
Steve Diamond's good value. He'll give you a quote now and again. But no, I literally had to do two 700-word pieces and a 600-word piece, all different on the same game.
Oh, wow.
In less than an hour.
Did you ever have to do a Brendan Ventnor? Did you ever do an aftermatch
with
him?
No, but he does star in my media training video.
Does he?
He did with Martin Gillingham. Where, yeah. Very good question. Yes, three cheers for Sir Ellie Bumbu. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have to think about it.
Have you not seen that interview?
No.
I'll show you after.
You have to watch it. As somebody doing an interview, it is absolute gold.
Really?
Not going to get anything out of me whatsoever.
It It was a bit like Knowlesy threatened once to do, "I'm only here because I'm contractually obliged." That's all he was going to say.
Wow.
Brilliant.
He was going to say that until I had a word with him and said, "Mate, grow up.
Calm down."
So that was one of your jobs, wasn't it? It was taking these young lads when you joined and sort of, we're now in the Prem, we're now in the eye of the entire world. Your old tweets, things that you might have deemed being acceptable when you said them.
I used to go into Truro, Ivy Bridge and Bicton for a while when they had the college down there.
Yeah.
And Rob Gibson and Marek and people like that down at the colleges would say to me, "Right, here's a list of people. Look them up, find out what you can." And I would go in and befriend them as the Chiefs. And they were like, "Oh, the Chiefs are following me. This is amazing." And then they opened their whole life up to me, didn't they? So then I would look at all their social media.
You sneaky snake.
No.
Yes. You sneaky snake.
So he's gone from doing that to now being like photographers, as you said, like getting the money out of them.
Is that why everyone knows about my social media now? Is that what you've done? You sneaky snake.
So basically, but what I would do is I'd talk about social media, interview techniques, things like that. But then also say, there was a slide that I put up, and this is what I found out about you in the last 24 hours.
Amazing.
And then all sorts of pictures
faces
would come up.
Drop.
Oh, yes. And then I'd end the day with like some interview scenarios. So Dunno would be a player that's been caught with a banned substance in his system. Brad would get, he's a celebrity, he's dating a celebrity model. And that's been broken. And then you were driving a club car and you got pulled over for drink driving.
Oh, my God.
These were scenarios
dramatic.
I put.
That's never, ever happened at Chiefs.
And then, so, literally, I would give the first two no briefing at all. And then the rest of the players would assume roles as journalists.
That's amazing.
And they'd say, "Oh, I'm Sarah Cox from The Times," like this. Yeah. And they'd ask a question. And these people that were up on the interview immediately took it as a, "I have to role play here."
Brilliant. Straight in.
So the banned substance one, "Why have you taken banned substance?" "Oh, I want to be bigger, I want to be stronger, faster," and all this like that. And then literally let them go. And then the last question I'd say, "So is taking drugs cheating?" And they're like looking at me and I'd really go after them. And then eventually they go, "Yes." I went, "Bang, thank you, got you," like that.
So surely it's like, only cheating if you get caught.
Well, no, but then I'd say, "Right, you've just given me my headline." I said, "What happens when your second sample comes back and is negative? You've just told the world you're a drugs cheat."
Oh, God.
Like this. And then on the last one, whichever scenario it was, I'd brief them and say, "You don't say this. You just say it's no comment, or I refer you back to the club, or what the statement said."
Brilliant.
And the rest of them were like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah, amazing.
But in all those cases, the player would never talk. That would be my job as the media man to sort out all their problems.
There's strange so much. Things, there's a dark underworld.
Even late at night.
Lance
there's
Armstrong.
A dark underworld.
How many Tour de France's did Lance Armstrong win on drugs?
All of them, wasn't it?
But what was it, like 8 or 9?
Oh, I have no idea.
I got drugged once. I could barely walk. So like, how we won 9 Tour de France's on drugs, I have no idea.
You're probably on different drugs.
Right. But anyway,
that brings us neatly to
calm down, everyone. This is a family show.
No, I didn't take them. I was drugged, as I said. So
spiked.
Yeah, spiked. Sorry, that's what
I meant. That's what you're looking for.
Anyway, that brings us to In the Bin.
Oh, Chris says it better.
Pew!
Pew!
No, that's how he ends things. In the bin.
Yeah.
Laws of rugby.
You have got a real bee in your bonnet about laws, haven't you?
Look,
flapping now.
I'm not flapping. What I'm saying is, I listened to some people talking about it, and one of them still plays every week. Others have been journalism, know all the laws of things, and they couldn't at that time work out why a free kick was given at a scrum time. And it was like, why would you give a free kick? Well, you know, well, surely a penalty. Well, if it's all free kicks, then why are we given a penalty? And it's like, wow. And I'm there thinking, well, it's a free kick because the ball's not in play. If they do it a couple of times, the referee gets fed up and then upgrades it to a penalty, and then it'll always be a penalty because they're not going to give you the chance to free kick because you've annoyed
why
them.
You'd give a free kick.
But the thing is, how many laws, and does the complication of rugby prevent people following it and enjoying it? When someone wants to get involved, do they watch it on TV because they flick over? Like the Women's Six Nations, really available on BBC Two or on ITV.
On the BBCs and the ITVs,
They flick over and they start watching it. Mm-hmm. How many bits of the game or laws of the game do they need to know to actually enjoy it?
Yeah, that's that is.
God, let's ask Mark. Come on,
well, let's use my mum as a prime example. Yeah, she doesn't normally watch any rugby, but when the Six Nations has been on telly, she's then telling me that she wants to be line out lifted.
Moving forward,
we can arrange that. Me and Bentos.
I said you wouldn't like it at all, but no, she doesn't know a Scooby Doo in terms of rugby. She knows maybe that when the two sides pack down, it's a scrum.
That'd be about it.
The throw in, she calls it.
Yeah,
They kick through the post. That's her
perfect.
Post. But yeah, she would never Scooby Doo. So it would be handy if even at the start of a tournament, because they want to try and educate more. Are those sort of people to come and watch the game, don't they?
So we want bigger audiences, because
exactly.
Bigger audiences mean bigger adverts in the TV, which means more money, which comes back to the clubs.
Yeah. Whereas if you said to a person about football, for example, they know exactly pretty much the most of the rules. The offside rule is always the debatable one.
How many? There's like two, aren't there?
Yeah. But in rugby, there are so many rules. Laws, sorry. God.
Yeah, you've got two.
You can feel my eyes in the back of your head, then, couldn't you?
I remember I got pulled up at a Devon Society chat.
You're talking to the two wrong people to say rules.
So the laws. It'd be handy if even some just basics were put up at the start of a broadcast.
Yeah, well, the difficulty
is because then other people will switch off. But what do you do? So if someone says, what's going on here? I go, right, run forwards, pass backwards. Start with that, and then we can work from there.
The laws are getting more and more complicated. But rugby in its essence is quite a simple game, right? If pass backwards, run forwards. That's it. But the laws are getting more and more complicated because players and coaches are finding ways around things. And the margins are getting finer and finer with more and more money on those results. So naturally, it creates a bit of a monster out the other end where we have to apply certain laws in certain ways so that we can sort of adjudicate that, if you like. So I think rugby's in a transition period at the moment. There are some law changes coming up, and there are some guidance, if you like, as to what we want to try and achieve. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is about getting new people involved and new fans and the fan experience. So what you're coming back to is, actually, it doesn't matter what's happening on the pitch, as long as fans can be engaged, because they pay for us to be there in the first place. Because without fans, you don't get players.
Yeah, so we've got, I mean, I want to hold till next week for all these law amendments that we've got and things that you're reinforcing, because we're running on time. And that deserves more time going into those things. And we've done a lot with the TMO. So this is really about the complexity of the game, of you having to referee a spectacle, of Steve having to write a report on something that hasn't got everything, like, you know, read match reports and he carried the ball into did this and the referee blew his whistle, and some of them are absolutely woeful, which gets away from this whole spectacle of trying to... When you write a match report, you're writing a story of a game. When you're refereeing a spectacle of this. I want to watch a game when I do sit there with my mate Dave and actually just enjoy a spectacle. And sometimes actually over-analysing a game is my critical thing of not sometimes enjoying it. So part of me would love to not know that much. I don't know that much anyway. But
last weekend was a prime example. So the Chiefs-Newcastle game wasn't the best game in the world. It won't go down as a classic of all times. But my job in terms of media is, again, like you're saying, trying to sell this to the wider public. I've still got to write positively about the game. So you can say certain aspects of it weren't great, but equally you've got a duty, I feel, from a media point of view, to try and sell the game as more to the public that are out there and make it sound interesting.
Because we need to sell tickets. And say somebody read a match report that was dull and just was about to click on buying the game for Bring the Blue, the Bath game, in a few weeks' time, and thought, actually, that sounds like a load of rubbish. I don't want to spend my hard-earned money on that.
Yeah,
and it's getting more and more expensive.
Yes, everything is. But,
no, that's what I mean. Like, generally in the world at the moment, everything's getting more and more expensive. I think a ticket at Bath at the moment is just shy of £100. £100. You can't take the family for that.
No.
You've got some hardcore supporters, and Bath are playing some phenomenal rugby at the moment. But you have to get this balance of sort of making entertaining rugby, but what the coaches are looking for, what the fans are looking for, what the media are looking for, and try and make it as one in the middle. And Duns, you say about your experience at Twickenham, and the way that certain things were playing out that was different to your chino wearers, which is one of you, and the generation that's coming through next. And ultimately, and quite frankly, if we don't change something about rugby, it will die, and we don't want it to. And we don't want to be sleepwalking into its death. What we want is to make it relevant to everyone, and so that people put the phones down during a game, they put the phones down at half time. If you can get through an NFL game, and ultimately that's a very short amount of sport in a very, very long window, but you've got one of the biggest coverage, the most, like, you get hundreds of thousands of people, and their collegiate sort of setup is unbelievable. If you can do that with that sport, then there's no reason you can't do it with rugby. But you've got to find the sort of winning formula, and some of that is appealing to Gen Z, because at the moment, unfortunately, Dunst, you're the boring old fart that's been around forever.
I know. I am Quentin in the red chinos who goes to Twickenham and does that.
I don't want this loud music. It's horrible in my ears.
It was rubbish.
But Rob said many times in interviews last season, just have a cull on the amount of law changes at the moment. Just do 2 or 3 years. It certainly helped you as a referee, I'm sure, Coxie. But equally, people will just... There will be... The teams and the coaches are very clever. They'll find ways around and everything. And I get that they may have to tweak things now and again. But that every year, there seems to be so many more changes all the time that you're just like, just let it rest for a minute. Just let it grow and see what happens.
Yeah, it's difficult because every time you change a law, I'm the one that delivers the message. And so if people don't like it, I'm the one that you're shooting the messenger. I don't necessarily agree with all these law changes, all these guidances or things like that, but I have to apply it because that is what governs me and the game.
Or you get told to apply a law. Yeah. So the both teams are prepared all the way through. They're going into the game. They start the game and you apply a law that hasn't been applied for a while because you're told to go, right, referees this week,
yeah,
I want you to look at
on it.
I want you to look at this. And both sides are going, oh no, what do we do?
Yeah, the one that gets my goat now is...
You dare say the feed at a scrum.
No, not at all. No, it's when a team's camped on the line and they're held up and it's the whole pressure. It used to be the Chiefs' DNA. They were back.
That's
aside.
Why you don't like it.
No, but it...
You don't like the goal line dropout?
No.
I think it's brilliant.
I've got to say, as somebody who probably all the tries I've scored have been pushed over the line like that, I like this. Because if you're not successful in doing it and you get held up, so one of those try-saving tackles at the weekend was incredible.
My counter is that...
But it's only a goal line, so the...
No, but you can have sustained pressure there. And you've got to get your... As an attacking side, you've got to get it bang on every time.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
If not... Yeah, but
same with the scrum. You've got to get every scrum bang on.
Cheat like mad, and you know that.
Well,
rugby's about
yeah, these two, the other side of the desk. I'm really glad I've got a desk between Brad and I. You're safe. It's all good. The game of rugby is people cheating. So the referee is only there as a conductor to stop 30 blokes like
killing each other,
life out of each other, constantly trying to cheat. Everything.
So I get your point. I get what you're saying. But the goal line dropout is ultimately to stop the sequence of 5 metre scrums, which we have seen plenty of times. Now, we had some stats on that England-Wales game, men's Six Nations, where nearly 20 minutes of the game was taken out by scrums. Just scrums.
It was a really good time. But my thing here is it's the spectacle. So why I started this chat, which we've got to roll up in a second, is that actually are there too many things that the spectator who's watched their first or second game of rugby, load of blokes just constantly pushing at a line, going whack, whack, whack. It isn't a great spectacle for them. If they try and go over, they fail. All of a sudden, the ball's back in the air.
And we're going again.
And there's 30 people going again. Because it's only from the goal line. So it's not like a 22 where all of a sudden they're in the other half. They're still in the opposition's half.
I think the
girly backs get to have a chat and go,
didn't
right, we're going to do...
Backs?
Yeah, the girly backs, they get to do a set piece and all of this, this routine. All the forwards are like... Because they're hanging because they've been trying to push this ball over the line for how long, and then you get mismatches and great spectacle for someone who doesn't know what's going on.
Why would you want to go back to a sequence of 5 metre scrums?
Well,
if you're right,
I'm going to look at this from a Chiefs perspective now because they have a scrum that's lethal,
and I'm the dinosaur. I'm the dinosaur.
Keep your fingers out. They have a scrum that's lethal. I'm telling you now.
No, they do though. They have a. In previous seasons, the scrum was maybe their Achilles heel, but Ross McMillan's come in, he's made a big difference at scrum time. They now have a weapon there, which they can't fully utilise.
Or find it somewhere where you can utilise it elsewhere. There's plenty of facets in the game.
I tell you what, get them to carry the ball over their own try line and then put it down 5 metres scrum. Get them to do lots of other things. So I know what you're saying. My section on this in the bin was I want it to be a spectacle for somebody who doesn't know the game.
Yes, and I think the way that you do that is involving people that aren't involved in the game, that are looking at it from a completely different view and saying, what do you understand? And what do you not understand? And then working from there.
Do you know what? This is going to roll on now. And I want you to... So anyone can email brad@radiox.co.uk with what you think on this. Because this is really, really valuable. Make sure you like and follow wherever you watch your podcast on Spotify, Apple Music. Listen, I died.
Whatever you people do out there.
Help, I'm trying to round a show up and my brain's gone. And thank you so much to Mark, Steve and Steve-O for coming this week.
Come back again.
You've been a brilliant guest.
You can come back again. The dame
of the realm. There's me, and the last word of the show is going to go to Steve-O.
Well, thanks for the invite, first and foremost. It's great to be. I used to help with this many moons ago when the Chiefs did their original one.
It was a few words. It wasn't like a life story.
But anyhow, thanks very much. Really enjoyed myself.
Bring back 5 meter scrums.
Checking out from the dinosaur Steve-O. Boom, done.
Two locks and a cox.
From Devon's Radio X. With Exeter Chiefs.
The next match against Bath is on Saturday the 20th of April. Book your tickets today at tickethub.exeterchiefs.co.uk.